Amen. Well, let's get going. Did you know that most of the newspaper type is called a newspaper type they use for outstanding events? It's called second coming type. Believe it or not, that's what they call it. So all these here are second coming types. The large, heavy black or red letters reserved for only the most stupendous, amazing front page news. Banners like headlines are used to announce the start of wars and victories of wars, and bold heading style has proclaimed successful flights into space and other dramatic events of universal importance. One day humankind will witness the great event for which the second coming type was named for, the return of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes, the Saviour will literally come back to this planet that he left so long ago. He will fulfil the promise he gave to his disciples and us. And when he does, it will command the attention of all of Earth's inhabitants. The whole world will know that the Lord Jesus is alive and well. Truly will be the headline event where they will no doubt use the second coming type. Actually, I think it will even be bolder and bigger if they get the chance to type it out. The early Christians waited with eager expectations for this headline event to occur. John was penning the book of Revelation to those who had experienced persecution firsthand. Rome had instituted emperor worship, where the Caesars were considered gods and all were commanded to bow down to them. Well, for the Christian, this was unthinkable. What would they do? To whom would they turn, and what did the future hold for them? Where was there a word of hope? Where was there a message of encouragement? Where was a word from God to see them through? As you can imagine, the early Christians were discouraged during the time of his persecution, but they could hold on to this one truth. Jesus was coming back to get them and take them home. Do we not face the same problem today? Do we not? Do we not lift up our eyes to the sky sometimes and just wonder, when are you coming back, Lord? Do we not see the world around us and the place that we're in it and ask ourselves, what can we do? And to whom can we turn to? And what does the future hold? Perhaps our answer can be found in the text before us today. And John, he bursts out onto the page with the second coming type with the words of Christ, I am coming. And today we receive those words with gladness, for these words are what we need to hear. These words are what we must hear. And they're the only words that we want to hear. Let's pick it up in Revelation 22:7-17. So John bursts out. He goes, look, I am coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the prophecy written in this scroll. I, John, am the one who saw and heard all these things. And when I saw and heard these things, I fell down to worship the angel who showed them to me. But again he said, no, don't worship me. I'm the servant of God, just like you and your brothers and the prophets, as well as all who obey what is written in the scroll. Worship God. Then he instructed me, do not seal up the prophetic words you have written, for the time is near. Let one who is doing wrong continue to do wrong. The one who is vile continue to be vile. The one who is good continue to do good. And the one who is holy continue in holiness. See, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay all according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so they can enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life. Outside the city are the dogs, are the sorcerers, are the sexually immoral, are the murderers, are the idol worshippers, all who love to live a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne. I am the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let each one who hears them say, come. Let the thirsty ones come. Anyone who wants to, let them come and drink the water of life without charge. People, behold, Jesus is coming again. Now let's consider three aspects of his coming this morning in your outline, if you got one this morning. Number one, I am coming soon. Three times this statement is made in this passage. Twice it comes from the lips of Jesus in verse 7 and in verse 12, and once from the mouth of an angel, where he tells us the time is near. Is Jesus really coming soon? Is he? Over 2,000 years have come and gone, yet we wait for his return. Peter spoke of this, who referenced to Christ's return. They would ask this in 2 Peter 3:4. Jesus promised to come back, did he? Then where is he? Why, as far back as anyone can remember, everything has remained exactly the same since the world was first created. But then Peter reminded them that a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. But get this. The word soon, okay, the word soon literally, back in the Hebrew, means suddenly. Soon means suddenly. I want you to get this. It's not a reference to be paid, to a period of time in which it will take place as much as it is a description of the action itself. Now, when Jesus returns, he will come without advance notice. We will not know. Prophecies come and go. I mean, you've heard a lot of the prophecies of like the four blood red moons and or prophecies for over hundreds and hundreds of years that, oh, Jesus is near, and these events happen, and where's Jesus? See, sometimes as Christians, I think we get so locked in to all these prophetic words that, oh, Jesus is coming. This guy, he's not. Oh. It's just like someone saying, yeah, I'll be there at 4:30 for the meeting, and I'll be there soon. 5 o'clock comes and they're still not there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 says, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. We do not know what time or day or what event or anything else is going to happen. He will come suddenly like a thief in the night. Bang! For all you know, he could be coming right now. How you feeling? Jesus is coming suddenly. The question we must ask is when, not when will he get here, but will we be ready when he comes? I don't usually get really serious, but I'm really serious today. Are you ready? Many years ago, on October 30th, 1938, Orson Welles produced a radio drama of an imaginary attack from outer space, the War of the Worlds, which shook the nation of the United States of America. These are some of the headlines. And from that now, the law still is that no radio station is allowed to have fake radio alarms or stories or plays read out over the radio. Because this caused a major drama all across the United States. For example, just one story, a student at Campbell College in North Carolina turned on his radio midway through the broadcast and didn't realise he was hearing a fictitious report. When the announcer vividly described fire falling upon the earth, the student recalled some of his sermons from his boyhood years and concluded that the end of the world had come. He grabbed the telephone and called home saying, "Mama, Mama, have you heard on the radio? The fire is falling, the end of the world is coming, and I'm not ready to meet God." He then went out into the corridors of his university where he was staying and yelled to everyone, "Everyone, the world is over, get ready." The next morning he was the object of jokes and teasing around the campus. But in the chapel service, a godly Bible teacher took the podium and said, "I understand that one of the boys got a lot of ribbing because he got scared listening to the radio program last night. But young men and women, what if it had truly been the end of the world last night? Would you be ready? Would you be ready?" Isn't this the question we have to be asking ourselves? Jesus is going to come suddenly. There will be no warning. Will we be ready for Jesus? Jesus said, "I am coming soon." We read the Bible and we're amazed at all the prophecies that have come to pass. But this one, for some reason, a lot of us have a blasé reaction to. Where in reality, we should be taking Jesus' word very, very seriously. We should. We take everything else seriously. You know what I think? It's that word soon. It should be suddenly. There is an urgency here, people. He's going to come suddenly, like a thief in the night. Are you ready? Number two, Jesus says, "I am coming for who? For you." There is no better feeling in the world than the feeling that you are wanted or needed by someone, isn't there? And the fact of the matter is that Jesus loves you both individually and personally. He wants you to be with him always. When Jesus returns, he is coming for you. Each and every one of you. Jesus is coming for those who obey the prophecy, it says in verse 7. We find a similar statement in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "God blesses the one who reads this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to it and obey what it says. For the time is near when things will happen." We're in that time now. Those who first heard these words were facing the unknown. They had no way to know what the next day might hold for them. If they held on to the words of God and kept the faith, they faced persecution. Yet what else would they hold on to? What else can we hold on to? What hope could be found in worshipping a Caesar? What joy could be found in a godless religion? What joy can be found really living here on earth and dealing with all the worldly stuff? What eternal good could come from denying their God? Where could they find grace? Where could they find love? Where could they find hope? But but in the words of this prophecy. Where can we find it today if not in the Word of God? You know, the message of hope for this generation is the message that comes to those who hold on to the Word of God for their strength. The message is a message of power. It is a message of joy. It is a message of faith. And it's a message of grace. And it's a message of resurrection. Are you the one who keeps the words of these prophecies? Are you? If so, then Jesus is coming for you. If not, today, please turn that around. Verse 14 says, Jesus is coming for those who have washed their robes. Jesus is not coming for those whose robes are soiled or spotted. He is coming for those who have washed their robes, all of the robes. All of our robes have been stained with sin. And it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, all fall short of God's glorious standard. So how do we have these stains removed? Some of you ladies are probably thinking, oh, I know, Omo or bleach or nappy sand. Well, I've got something a lot better for you today, women and men that wash. I'm not trying to dispel anything. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. I love this passage. This is what the Lord says. Come now, let us argue about this. What a great God. He's saying, come on, let's argue. You know, you probably want to wipe this, but when I have a bet with my children, I don't bet, okay? I don't gamble or anything like that. But you know how children know everything? They just know everything. Well, I've managed to get a few $5 notes off my kids to teach them a lesson, never to bet. Because they know that if I say, you want to bet, they know that I'm 100% right. And can you see, imagine God here. God saying, come now, let us argue this out. Come on, let us argue this out. So when God ever says that, you back down real quick. Because you're going to lose. And says the Lord, he says, no matter how deep the stain of your sins. Can you imagine the producers of Omo and Nappy Sand coming against God, getting stains out of the robes? No matter how deep the stain of your sins, pardon me, I can remove it. It can make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you as white as wool. Wow. That's what the Lord says. Are you going to argue with that? No. You'd be a fool if you did. I love that. I love what he says. Come, let us argue this out. God removes the scarlet stain of sin from our lives by washing them clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, he personally carried away our sins in his own body on the cross so we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. You have been healed by his wounds. Whew! You have a robe. Have you washed your robe? Have you been immersed in Christ's blood? Have you turned from yourself and turned to God? Are you ready for Jesus Christ? Jesus is coming for you. Jesus is coming for those who have answered the call to come. In verse 17, the Holy Spirit says, come. The church says, come. Believers in Christ say, come. God's invitation to life eternal is universal in scope. It was for those facing persecution by the Roman government. It was for men and women of all ages. It was for the black and the white and the rich and the poor and the good and the bad. It is for you and it is for me. The call to come is a call to salvation. It is an invitation from God to become a part of his eternal family. And for those who have responded to that invitation, Jesus is coming for you. And if you want to argue about that, please. I'd love to argue that with you. Number three, I am coming with my reward. Revelation 22 verse 12 says, "See, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay all according to their deeds." Now, there seems to be some connection between deeds we do on earth and the amount or value of our reward in heaven. Yet we understand that we do not do good works for salvation or to please ourselves, but we do them, okay, we do them in a response of our love to God. Okay, remember, it's not a requirement, it's a response. Now, what kind of rewards will Jesus give out? Well, we really don't know. But we do know that whatever is given will be given because of God's love for us. You know, the greatest reward we can receive is to be in the presence of God. True?
Yeah.
In the presence of God. In the presence of God. How many times in your life have you heard a preacher say, "Oh, we'll be in the presence of God"? A lot, haven't you? And you've read it. And you've wondered, I wonder what it's like to be in the presence of God. Well, a few older folk, Beatlemania. Could you imagine you young ladies being in the presence of the Beatles when they came to Australia? I mean, oh my goodness. I saw pictures and movie clips of women of your age back then, of your age, going, "Oh my God!" screaming and crying and passing out and all these things just over a group of guys coming off a plane. Oh my goodness. Don't you laugh, you young people. Oh my goodness, Ed Sheeran. Oh, just imagine if he walked in and he stood right in front of you. I got permission for this. I asked my daughter, "Cara, what would you do?" She goes, "I'll probably burst into tears and run to my room." I wonder what it's like to be in the presence of God. You know, I went out for dinner the other night with an old mate of mine, Tim Van der Kyle. He played in the first band I ever played in, but he went on to greater things. He's now the music director for one of the greatest acts on the globe at the moment, Adele. And I was having dinner with him, and I said to him, "Mate, what's the most funny experience you have touring with Adele?" And he goes, "Really? It's people that win the tickets to go backstage to see Adele." And he goes, I said, "Why?" He goes, "Because the reactions of people, they're standing there, and there might be a guy or a girl just standing there waiting, you know, they're like this. And in bursts Adele, and they go, boom, boom." They literally, some of them pass out, some of them burst into tears. Some of them go, literally. And some of them just scream. And Adele's standing there going, "Oh, here we go again." And Tim just laughs in the corner. Can you imagine what it would be like in the presence of God? Oh, my goodness. I'm starting to even tremble now. I'd be going, ah, 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 ah. I'd probably cry and run to my room. And then come out. What would it be like to be in the presence of God? When Jesus Christ comes for you, will you be ready? A young boy was accompanying his mother to church. They stopped for a quick sandwich along the way. And the boy ran out of time before he finished his sandwich, so his mother insisted they had to leave or they would be late. So the little boy stuffed, as they do, stuffed the sandwich into his pocket to be finished later. That evening, the preacher spoke about the ability of God to be in all places at each and every given moment. The boy bowed his head during the sermon and prayed, God, if you're in my pocket, please don't eat my sandwich. I just got it, sorry. We know that God is at all places at all times. But you know, sometimes I want to reach out and touch him. That's what I want to do. I just want to reach out and touch him. I want to experience what John described in 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. He said that when he had seen Jesus with his own eyes. John said this, he'd seen Jesus with his own eyes. He had heard him speak. And his hands had touched him. I want to experience that. I can't wait to experience that. I know I'm going to be a blubbering mess when I meet Jesus. I don't know what I'm going to be. I don't know. I believe that we all want to see God in a more intimate way, don't we? We know of his presence today. We know he is here with us to guide us and direct us and discipline us through his Holy Spirit. We know that. We're a Pentecostal church. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
But the day is coming when all who have given their lives to Christ will be actually in the presence of God, Jesus himself. Wow. Jesus' message to the early church and the message to us today is that will we be able to eat from the tree of life? Will we be able to enter into the eternal city? And when we enter that city, we will focus and find ourselves in the presence of God. And to that day we look forward to, because Jesus is coming with his reward. He's coming. Can I have the music team up, please? A little bit early. We're going to have a lot of talking, a lot of praying to do before we pick these children up. Behold, Jesus is coming again. I cannot tell you when that day will be, but I can tell you this. Jesus Christ is coming suddenly. Jesus is coming for you, and Jesus is coming with his reward. Are you ready to meet him? If you've come here for the first time today, if you're visiting here today, or if you've been coming here for years upon years and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, well, today I challenge you to do so. I urge you to do so. I beg you to do so, because my desire is that of God's. His desire is that none shall perish. I don't want anyone sitting here perishing. I'm going to read a sinner's prayer. And you can read it along with me in your own mind. But after this message, I had to give us the sinner's prayer and give an invitation to each and every one of you. Because I am so serious today. I've done 8 weeks of the truths we believe, and it's come to this one today. I probably should have started off with this one, because what would have happened if Jesus came during my series? Ouch. But none of you are without excuse. God so much loves you so much that he died on the cross. That so one day when you leave this world, you will enter into a world for eternity with God, in the presence of God. And you know, this basket here full of all the names that you've signed and you've put in there for relatives and everything else like that, he so desires, and there's an urgency for you to reach out to the gospel message to your friends and family and to the people around you in this community. That's God's desire, that everyone will be saved. That when he comes back, he's going to have all the buses and make more buses and create more buses to get people to heaven. That's if they get there. I don't know, the buses or anything like that. Don't take me with it. Probably use a train. But, no. But that's his desire. He's coming suddenly. Are you ready? Every head bowed, eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you want to give your life to the Lord, I just want to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. I just want you to raise your hand. Thank you. I just want you to think about it for a moment. You know, we read in the paper so many times, keep your heads bowed. We hear about it so many times how we lose loved ones so suddenly through a car accident, or never even thought of it would happen. Or something else, sickness comes, and you know what? It's too late. Today's not too late. I just want you to say this prayer along with me as I read it out. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Your word says in John 6:37 that all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever come to me, I will never drive away. So I know you won't cast me out, Lord. But you take me in, and I thank you for it. Your word says in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Heavenly Father, I'm calling on your name. So I know you have saved me now. Also in Romans 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Lord, I believe in my heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he was raised from the dead for my justification. And I confess him now as my Lord and Savior. And because your word says in 2 Corinthians so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And I do believe with my heart, I have now become the righteousness of God in Christ, and I am saved. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.